There's no greater decision than to trust Jesus Christ, believe and depend in Him alone as your personal Lord and Savior. This morning's message to us, the blessings of repentance. The blessings of repentance. And I have to remind myself that it's a wonderful thing to repent. And I share this as a sinner. Okay, hi, my name is Wing. I'm a sinner. And I'm addicted to sin, of course, because our flesh loves sin. Even though our spirit hates sin, the flesh loves sin. And the flesh is always contrary to the spirit. But may we, as our soul, yield to our spirit, not the flesh. Amen. And so as much as repentance brings blessings and mercy and God's favor, our flesh is ironically adverse to it. You know, don't want to do it. Doesn't want to do it. Repentance brings a broken sinner to God. Repentance restores the Christian's fellowship with the Lord. Repentance rebuilds the wounded relationships in our life. It is the chief commandment of Jesus Christ, proclaimed first by John the Baptist. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Come on, guys, now's the time to repent. Of course, it was the message of Jesus Christ. He said the same thing, repent. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then, of course, echoed by the apostles. Yet, for all the blessings that come with repentance, somehow I find myself in my flesh, of course, strangely adverse to it. Friends, if we get in the habit of repenting often, repenting early, quickly, oh, how blessed our life will be. Number one, to be saved. Hallelujah. But then after that, to live that victorious Christian life. And so, turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 3. Again, there's just so many passages that Scripture talks about repentance, of course, from Genesis to Revelation. This is just one of the hundreds of passages. But here we have the words of Peter preaching. This is shortly after Pentecost. And let's go to Acts chapter 3. And the context makes it very, very clear. The blessings that come with repentance, but also specifically how to repent, repent of what specifically. So let's go to Acts chapter 3, because rightly dividing God's truth is paramount, especially on the doctrine of salvation. So let's go to Acts chapter 3, verse 19. The Word of God says, repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. The times of refreshing, God's blessings. When Jesus Christ returns, make all things new, fresh again, regenerate the whole earth. Okay, the kingdom of God is here. When everything comes to pass and God's wonderful plan comes to culmination, if you have repented and gotten saved, you'll be blessed. Hallelujah. So let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, what a joy to be in thy house. I praise you, Father, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for your truth. And so, Father, may we rightly discern it, Father, and now we commit this time to your hands, Lord, and Holy Spirit of God, please move these lips of clay that the word that I've hidden in my heart might come forth with Holy Spirit power and clarity. Lord, help us, Lord, to examine ourselves, whether we be in the faith, whether we are saved, whether we are faithful. Lord, help me to be swift to hear and slow to wrath, Lord, and quick to repent, Lord, and I thank you for the great and eternal salvation through Jesus Christ, our Lord. But even after that, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the joy that we can always come to you when we are convicted and when we are of a repentful heart, Lord, a broken spirit, and that you receive us. Even in our lives as Christians, Lord, we confess that we fall. And so, Father, help us today to get right with you and to do right always. We give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Repentance is a beautiful, beautiful thing. To our flesh, it's a bad word, okay? Our flesh will do everything it wants except repent, okay? So, but keep that in mind. Repentance, good. Repentance, a blessing. Repentance, wonderful, okay? And it brings God's mercy and favor. Repentance, of course, when we say repentance, when the Scripture speaks about repentance, that is a sincere, you can't fake it. It's got to be a sincere, but also a complete change of heart and mind, from the inside out. Repentance is not just faking it. You got to mean it. And if you really mean it from the inside out, it will be evidence you repent in the heart, it will be evidenced and shown outwardly when we actually stop doing something and then start doing something else. And it's not just the acknowledgement that I've done wrong. This, I guess the simplest example is the kid who gets caught with his hand in a cookie jar. Mom says, "Johnny, what are you doing?" And he's got his hand is in a cookie jar, caught mid-act, right? Turns around and says, "I'm sorry." Now, he's not sorry he's, you know, stealing a cookie. He's just sorry he got caught, right? Okay, and so repentance is more than just feeling guilty, feeling bad, feeling sorry. It's not just apologizing. It is a change of heart and mind. It's a 180, and it will be evidence. It will be true repentance. It happens on the inside, but if it's true on the inside, it will be observable on the outside. God commands it. Yes, he does. Quick peek. Let's go to Acts 17, only because it's in the same book. So let's go to Acts 17 real quick. Repentance, again, brings God's mercy and favor, starting with salvation, but then every blessing after as well. Let's go to Acts 17, verse 30. Acts 17, verse 30. And again, the Word of God says, "And the times of this ignorance God winked at." Meaning, before Jesus Christ came, people knew of the Savior. They just didn't know who the Savior was. They didn't know his proper noun was Jesus. That is a New Testament name. They still believe that God will send a Savior. God will be the Savior. And that's how people got saved. God winked at when they did not know the name Jesus. But now that Jesus is here, "But now commandeth all men everywhere to repent," specifically to Jesus Christ, "because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he raised him from the dead." The resurrection of Jesus Christ proves that he is the Savior, the only Messiah, the only Son of God, the only name whereby anyone can get saved. Amen. And God commands all men everywhere to repent. So yes, repentance is a commandment. A commandment doesn't need to be, you know, prayed about. It just needs to be obeyed, right? Yet, even when God doesn't specifically command repentance, this is how wonderful repentance is. When we read in the Bible, even when God didn't specifically, in that instance, command repentance to happen, it still brings God's mercy and favor. You think back to Jonah going to Nineveh. God told Jonah, we know it's God's desire when he told Jonah to preach against it, warn, you know, Nineveh, saying, "Yet 40 days, and the city shall be overthrown." Guess what? It was a warning, a prophecy of impending judgment from that standpoint. They repented anyway. and then God held off. I mean, what? Now, he still brings judgment later, okay? But God held off. They repented anyway, even though they were not commanded to repent. In fact, even in the midst of judgment, I think of wicked King Manasseh back in the Old Testament. Now, he's the sad story here, the wicked son of the godly, goodly King Hezekiah. You know, and again, in the Old Testament, you get good parent, bad son, good parent. I mean, you get all this, you know, there's not to say no rhyme or reason. It's sin. We know it's sin and pride. But you have wicked King Hezekiah who sacrificed his children in false demon worship, who set up idols. I mean, he just did just wicked, wicked things. Yet, even when he was judged by God and taken prisoner to Babylon, and he was already in Babylon, that was when he repented. And then God, even in the midst of his judgment, brought him back to Judah. That's amazing. It's always a good idea to repent, no matter how far gone we may think we are. If we're alive, we can repent. Amen. Repentance is a gift. I want to keep it in perspective. Don't have to turn there, but I'll just read 2 Timothy 2, verse 25. This is speaking about the false teachers. And Paul is saying to Timothy, "If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth." So repentance is a gift from God. But hang on to that thought. Let's go to Acts 11 real quick. Acts 11, verse 18. This is, again, similar, you know, as far as repentance coming from God. Let's go to Acts 11, verse 18. And this is the, you know, the Jewish response to when Cornelius and other Gentiles got saved. They were wonderful. They were happy about it, ecstatic. So let's go to Acts 11, verse 18. But notice what they say here. It says here, when they heard, Peter's telling them how Cornelius and company got saved. When they heard these things, they held their peace. So they settled down, okay? Because they weren't sure if Gentiles could be saved with Jesus because he's the Jewish Messiah. But guess what? Jesus is always is also the Gentile Messiah. Amen. Gentiles say amen. Amen. Okay? And glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. Amen. And again, it shows that repentance is absolutely critical and a requirement of salvation unto eternal life. That's wonderful. And this truth, this scripture teaches us that we cannot successfully repent of our sins without the power of God. We need God. Now, what this truth is not saying, even though repentance is a gift and even though God grants it, it is not saying that God arbitrarily chooses who to dispense repentance to and whom not to. In fact, Scripture says that whosoever asks, it shall be what? Given. Ask, it shall be given. Seek, you shall what? Find. Knock, it shall be opened. If you want God, he will be found of you. He grants and gives the repentance when we seek sincerely for it. Okay, and so this is huge. Now, we don't necessarily have to say, God, please give me repentance. We don't necessarily have to say that. But if we sincerely want to turn from God from our heart, we will receive it from God. He will grant us repentance. We need to believe this truth. This God desires all to be saved. None should perish, but it all come what? To repentance. And so it must be a gift from God, because repentance is not just a feeling that I feel bad about myself. It is a change in how we think, which will be evidence in our heart, which will be evidence in what we do. Now, our biggest need of repentance is for eternal salvation. Is for eternal salvation. In fact, that is the context of our main passage. If you go back with me to chapter 3, this is exactly who Peter is preaching against, okay? Or preaching to, you know, it's not against. He loves them. These are the fellow Jewish people, okay, that wasn't very long ago, they cried out, crucify him, crucify him. Okay, so, but this is the group that he's preaching towards. The biggest need, of course, is salvation. So let's go back to verse, what do we have here? Let's go back to verse 11. Chapter 3, we're going to, get up to verse 19. But verse 11, Peter's preaching, and notice how he says it and who he's saying it to. And as the lame man which was healed helped Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. Okay, so now that's a way to get attention. He heals this crippled man. Hallelujah. Of course, he heals him in the name of Jesus Christ. Okay, and so that is great. And so when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, ye men of Israel. So he's speaking to his fellow Jewish people. Why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? And so, obviously, he's not taking any credit for it. But again, what he's going to get into in the next few verses here, this is huge, because Peter is Jewish. The people he's speaking to, they're Jewish. In a general sense, they all believe in the Old Testament God, Jehovah. So they all have that the same. Well, what Peter knows that they have rejected is Jesus Christ. And so notice what he says in verse 13. And so Peter's going to connect the dots that Jesus is the Christ, right? The Savior that they've been waiting for, which they wrongfully killed. And so the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob. So same God, Jehovah, that they all believe from the Old Testament. The God of our fathers is in me too. My God, your God. Hath glorified his son, who? Jesus, the Savior of the world, whom ye, you guys, delivered up and denied him. They rejected Jesus. They denied Jesus. This is huge. In the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. Remember, Pilate really tried to. Now, again, not because Pilate you know, he didn't care about anyone else but himself. But he was superstitious. And again, just like John the Baptist, you know, Herod didn't want to kill him because it's bad luck to kill a prophet. Okay, so he was doing it for himself. Plus his wife told him, hey, don't hurt that holy man. And so he was spooked. He didn't want to harm Jesus. He didn't mind, you know, beating him and whipping him, scourging him to an inch of his life. He just didn't want to be the one that actually ends him. And so he washed his hands and he said, hey, if you guys want to kill him, you guys, I'm not, that's not, it, but not of me. And remember what the bloodthirsty crowd said? He said, they said, his blood be on us and our children. I mean, they were so bloodthirsty and so vicious to kill Jesus. That's what they did. They sold him, you know, they were willing to say that. And so it says here, but they denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you. That's Barabbas. We know that story. And killed the prince of life. Prince here as in principal, the chief. So it's none higher. Whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And in his name, Jesus, not specifically Jehovah, but Jesus, through faith, in his name hath made this man strong, this crippled guy, whom ye see and know, yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance ye did it, as did also your rulers. Wot meaning no. You know, so Peter knew that they did it in ignorance. Just like Paul, you know, he persecuted the church in his ignorance and pride and foolishness. Okay, so Peter, he confesses, I know you didn't know what you were doing. I know you did it in ignorance, as did also your rulers, the chief priests, the scribes, the Pharisees. Verse 18, but those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he has so fulfilled. Again, people did not understand, especially the Jewish nation did not understand that the Savior, their Messiah, had to suffer and die first. Before he would reign. So that's why when Jesus was arrested, they're like, oh, this, away with this guy. He's a phony. Again, that was their mindset. But again, Peter is testifying that God raised Jesus from the dead. Show beyond a shadow of a doubt that he is the one and only true Messiah to the Jewish people, to the whole world, but to you Jewish fellas who had cried out, crucify him, denying the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer instead. I mean, they wanted Jesus killed. In this context of their rejection of Jesus Christ, then he says in verse 19, repent ye. What's the next word? Therefore. Now, why is the therefore? Therefore? Well, it's because of their rejection of Jesus Christ. I say this because, number one, being saved, we have to believe. Now, it's not just easy believism where we kind of just, oh, okay, I believe, you know, in Jesus. You know, you got to mean it. You got to mean it. So, we know we are cautious against easy believism. Okay, we count the cost. Now our salvation is free because Jesus paid it all. He shed his blood for us. But to be saved, the idea is we know that we are no longer going to live for self, that we have a new Lord in our life. It's not number one, it's not me, it's who? It's Jesus Christ. He is the Lord. I have a dear friend, lives just a few blocks from here. My dear friend Justin, good friends since college. We met in college. People thought we were twins separated from birth. Now he's Caucasian, so we joke about it. Okay, but we have very similar interests. Okay, we could both quote movies. Okay, and I'm just saying, I'm probably the only one that he ever met that could keep up with him. But anyway, so we were close friends, but he's not saved. And he told me, he said, Wing, I've read the Bible. I know what it means to be saved, and I don't want to do that. He's counted the cost. Again, salvation is free. But he knows what it means to be saved. I mean, he wants to be his own Lord. And so I just pray for my friend. But again, you know, it's not just signing up on the I Love Jesus Club, right? It's been said that way. Don't just sign me up. You have to believe, because if you truly believe in Jesus, he is not just your Savior, he is your what? Lord. It's both. It's both. That means it's his will be done. I mean, you have an allegiance to him. Now, we're not perfect, but he is our Lord and Savior, and we strive and desire to follow him. I mean, that's the point. So to be saved is not just an easy belief, head knowledge. You've got to meet it in the heart. But on the flip side, notice when it says repent. Now, repent, rightfully so, is always associated with repenting from sin. Absolutely repenting from sin. But what sin specifically. Because that's where the rubber meets the road. Because, put it in context here, Peter is preaching to these Jews who had denied Jesus. That's their sin. It's the rejection of Jesus Christ. He's not preaching to a bunch of, I don't know, say bank robbers. And he's not saying, all right, you guys, you got to repent from robbing banks. Clean up your act. Stop sinning. Repent of your sins, your lifestyle. And then receive Jesus Christ. I share this because misapplying scripture and misapplying repentance can lead to a false works salvation gospel. Some profess that you have to stop sinning first in order to come to Jesus, that unless we forsake our sin, we cannot grasp onto Jesus. That getting saved is hard because most people cannot overcome their sin. That few there be that find it. My friends, can I share with you? You can try your whole life. You can never overcome your sin. You can try your whole life. You cannot free yourself from your sin. Jesus Christ is the one that saves us from our sin. There are those that say you have to come out of your Egypt to go to Jesus, that you have to abandon Satan to come to Christ. My friends, when I was yet a prisoner of Satan, Jesus rescued me. When I was yet in my Egypt, Jesus delivered me out. Moses came in and took him out by the shed blood of the Lamb. I share this, friends, because we cannot clean ourselves up enough to qualify for Jesus. We are condemned by our sins. There's no way over our sins. It is Jesus Christ that saves us and pardons us and rescues us from our sins. Yes, we can be and we ought to be disgusted at our sin. But to be saved, we have to understand that we are lost in our sin. Our sins condemn us. I cannot live that sinless life to qualify for Jesus. When the scripture talks about repentance, it is always referring to their rejection of Jesus Christ. This is the sin that keeps all sinners out of heaven, the sin of rejection of Jesus Christ. We become a new creature in Christ after we get saved. The woman that was caught in adultery, Jesus saved her while she was yet an adulteress. Peter, when he was sinking, he didn't learn to come afloat first before Jesus rescued him. No, Jesus picked him up from his drowning state. I can go on here, the psalmist. He was rescued from the horrible pit, right? He didn't just get right with God first and climb out and then high-five Jesus. No, he didn't do that. Jesus went down and picked him up from the horrible pit. He took him out from the miry clay, set him on a solid rock. I share this because I've heard, I've read, I've seen too many things where... yes, I'm all for repentance like anyone else. But there are those that say, "Oh, to repent, I need to live that reformed life." My friends, that's just trusting. If you're thinking, "I got to do this, I got to do that, I got to do this, I got to stop that, I got to do this, I got to start this, I got to do this," it's all I. My friends, it's none I. It's only in Jesus Christ. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Again, not easy believers. I'm not saying that just, you got to believe in your heart. But Jesus is the one that saves us from our sins because we cannot save ourselves. That's the whole point. That's huge. In fact, if you look at that same verbiage that Jesus says, repent ye therefore, this is their rejection. Yes, we repent of our rejection of Jesus Christ. We come to him. That is the sin that we repent of. He saves us from the inside out. And then we live that transformed life as a result. We don't try to reform ourselves outside and fake it. It's a regeneration, not a reformation. Repent ye therefore and be what? Converted. That repentance of their rejection of Christ converts them. In fact, Jesus says it this way, the word converted. If you turn with me to Matthew 18, Jesus says it this way here. Converted. Matthew 18. Let's go to verse 3. I share this, my friends, because I've heard it said, Unless you give up and forsake your sin and stop sinning, you can't be saved. My friends, you can try your whole life. No one has ever overcome sin except Jesus Christ. That's why we need to get saved. That's the whole point. Look at verse 3. And said, verily I say unto you, except ye be, that's that word again, converted, and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Amen. Now, little children, are they naughty? Of course they're naughty. Okay. But the idea here is to be converted, come as little children. It means you're completely dependent on Jesus Christ. Not become a saint, become a little child. That means you're completely dependent on Jesus Christ. You cannot save yourself. You need him to save you. Suffer the little children to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. This is how we get saved, as a little child. Not just kind of depend on Jesus, completely depend on Jesus. That is how we get saved. That is how we get converted. Getting saved is not hard. Jesus' yoke is what? Easy. The invitation Jesus is come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden with your own sin, the own vanity of your attempts to live right. Come unto me. When Jesus says repent, that's what he said, repent and believe the gospel. That is, repenting is not to make your life right. We cannot. It's changing our heart and mind from self-service and self-worship to worshiping God. It's from God, I don't want you, to God, I want you. It's God, I don't need you, to God, I need you. It's Jesus, I rejected you, to Jesus, I receive you. I mean, that is that repentance of that sin of rejection of Jesus Christ. Not cleaning up my life first so I qualify to come to God. I mean, it couldn't be bigger consequence in distinguishing this. The Philippian jailer, when he came to Paul trembling, he's about to take his own life, he says, sirs, what must I do to be saved? He knew he was lost. Paul said what? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. He didn't say clean up your life first. He didn't say get your act together. He didn't say that. Believe. Now, he didn't say repent, because at that point, the context of believe is to repent. You know, you turn from your rejection of Christ to reception of Christ, to believe in him, to trust in him. That's huge. Jesus says, come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Quit trying. We need to quit trying and start trusting. Amen. That's pretty good. Now, once we do trust again, then he makes in us a new creature and we serve. Praise God for that. But don't get a cart ahead of the horse. Repentance is a wonderful thing that brings God's mercy and God's favor. The greatest of all is eternal life. Now, once we are saved, repentance doesn't stop. We still need it for divine restoration. Think about it that way. Whenever we do sin, now that we're saved, yes, we do sin. And when we sin, because, think about this, because when we get saved, God indwells us. His Holy Spirit lives in us. Our body is his temple. And so when I'm saved and have God living in me as you in yourself, when we sin, we grieve the Holy Ghost. We are dragging him with us into the filth of sin because he indwells us. I mean, that's a wonderful thing. In fact, I thought it was a Chinese preacher. He had shared this testimony. Someone had asked him, what's the most wonderful doctrine of the Bible? You can say Jesus loves and God loves us. Amen. Okay, but he wasn't in that context. He was thinking about this way, and he said he's read in the Quran, he's read the writings of Buddha, he's read all the different, sacred texts out there. And only in the Christian faith does it say that our God lives in us. That's what? Our God lives in us. He's in there somewhere, in our hearts, okay? That is an amazing truth. And so let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. Now, this is Paul addressing believers. So once we are saved, Ephesians chapter 4, and then verse 30. Ephesians 4. And then verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption, till we die and we get a new body. Our body itself is not, we're going to get a perfect body that sins not. This old body is going to die and perish. But the Holy Spirit, He seals us. God seals us. But when we sin, because He is in us, we grieve Him. When we obey, we please God. When we sin, we grieve God. I mean, very, very simple formula. And think about it this way. If the Holy Ghost is our comforter, and if the Holy Ghost is our joy giver, if He indwells us and I sin and grieve Him, how can I have the joy of the Lord in my life when I'm in sin? I can't. Sin will rob us, even believers, from our joy of the Lord. Right? Because when I grieve the Holy Ghost in us, we're going to be grieved because He's grieved. Our flesh, you know, will indulge in that lust and sin, but we'll be grieving in the Spirit. The Spirit rebukes us. The sword of the Spirit, His sword, cuts us. And we know we're wrong. This is how God wants us to live as Christians. Go back up to verse 22 with me, same chapter 4. But as Christians, this is how God wants us to live. Hence, repentance, okay? Because if we're not doing this, the Holy Spirit will rebuke us. We ought to repent. There's joy on the other side of repentance, amen? There's joy in repentance. Verse 22, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, how we used to live, you know, as unsaved, don't do that, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. This we do after we get saved. Amen. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye... Oh, by the way, before I read verse 26, verse 25. I had a bad habit. I still struggle with that. I had to remind myself. But even as a child, I loved to stretch the truth, which is a nice way of saying lying. Right? I get this much of a blessing. I say, oh, I got this. That's not true. And if we tend to do that even today, don't do that. That's not how Christians ought to do. May the Lord rebuke us. Be ye angry and sin not. So when we are angry, don't be angry. Quit being angry because that leads to sin. Okay, it is not saying that we have that righteous anger. Only God has that righteous anger. Okay, it's the wrath of God worketh not the righteousness. The wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Okay, so when we are angry, when we are tempted to unleash, don't. Because it always becomes sin when we do it. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Perhaps there's some secret sin that only God knows that we do. Don't harbor that sin. Kick Satan out. Repent. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. In fact, I did one of the Friday devotions on this. It's a very good picture of spiritual growth, right? Don't just stop stealing. I mean, which is good. Don't steal. Don't steal. Stop stealing is good. But even better as we grow in our walk with the Lord is to give, okay? So don't just stop taking. Start giving. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Do you know that with this tongue, I can praise God, but I can blaspheme man who is made in the similitude of God? Don't do that. With this tongue, I can cut those nearest to me. With this tongue, I can hurt someone that can. Those wounds can last their whole life. That not ought to be. That's a corrupt communication. But that which is good to the use of edifying, to build people up, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. My mom would always tell me, which I tell my kids, if you got nothing good to say, don't say it. But push it one step further. Say something good, right? And if I struggle to say something good, I need more charity, because charity shall cover the multitude of sins. You know, it is sin, sin, okay? We don't make excuse for it. But it shouldn't bother us where we get the knee-jerk reaction, oh, I'm going to retaliate. Okay, no, that's not how it should be. And then look at verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Now, he's speaking to believers. How come they still struggle with this? My friends, because we're sinners. Now, the one sin that we repent of to get saved is our rejection of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. When we trust in the Lord and we don't get saved by confessing our sins, we get saved by confessing Jesus Christ as Lord, and then all our sins are forgiven. You know, that's another misnomer, that you got to confess your sins to be saved. My friends, if you got to confess your sins to be saved, there's too many, you'll never confess them all. And then how are you going to get saved? You'll forget something or whatever. I mean, and it's not confessing our sins that saves us. It's confessing Jesus Christ as Lord. He forgives all our sins. Amen. Praise God. That one sin. Turn from our rejection to truly believing, depending in Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. Now that we are saved, let us walk how Christians ought to be holy because God is holy. And then, so we need repentance for divine restoration. You know, if we say that we have not sinned, we lie, you know, and we deceive ourselves. The truth is not in us. We know that we are still sinners. But if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The greatest need of repentance, number one, eternal salvation. Number two, goes hand in hand after that, divine restoration. And then number three, repentance for earthly relations. Earthly relations. You can say our people-to-people conduct. If you look at verse 32, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Again, you're saved. But saved Christians can still be bitter at each other. I mean, join the club. We're all just humans, right? But look at verse 32. Wouldn't that be an awesome church to be part of? Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Whew! That's a wonderful... That's wonderful for a church. Wonderful for a family. Wouldn't it be awesome for a family to operate like this? Don't hold grudges, you know, and it's okay. You know, I love you. Wouldn't it be nice for a marriage? You can parent children. I mean, children, grandchildren. I mean, friends. I mean, you can think of any human relation. This is awesome to have it like this, right? Amen. It comes from repentance. Repentance for earthly relations. Forgiving one another will not happen without repentance. Let's go to Luke 17. Luke 17, because Jesus brings up and uses the word repent here. Now, it's not repentance to God in that divine sense, but it's to our fellow man. So let's go to Luke 17. And then verse 3, it says this, Luke 17, verse 3. And notice how Jesus says it. He says, take heed to yourselves. I would say to my kids, heads up, okay? So take heed, okay, pay attention, this big deal. If thy brother, of course the context, your fellow Christian, okay, but it doesn't this totally work for parents to tell their kids this? If your brother, okay, always picks on you, if thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. Rebuke him. And if he, what? Repent, forgive him. This is the recipe to keep families together, to keep churches, marriages together. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and now we might think this is exaggerating. It's not. You know, 'cause I'm just saying, kids, pick on me. Okay, anyway. And seven times in a day, turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. And so if I've wronged someone, I need to repent. If I'm rebuked and I'm in the wrong, I need to repent. Now, if someone repents to me, I need to what? Forgive. If I don't forgive, I need to repent for not forgiving. Okay, right? So it only comes from repentance. Repentance ushers in God's mercy and favor and blessings. Let's go back to Acts chapter 3. We'll kind of wrap it up here. Verse 26 towards the end. Acts chapter 3. All the way to the end, verse 26 here. Repentance is so pivotal. In fact, the Bible, Jesus says, we can't even properly worship God if we are at odds with one another, right? We have to leave our gift at the altar. First, been reconciled with your brother, then come and offer your gift. And all the blessings of God come through repentance, through faith, but we've got to repent. Verse 26, unto you first, God, this is the Jewish people, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to what? Bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. This is to overcome sin. That's the reason why his name was called Jesus, because he shall save his people from their sins. The blessings of God come to us when we repent of our sins, specifically our rejection of Jesus Christ, to trust in Him as our Savior, to get us out from our sin, which we are hopelessly in bondage to. Okay? Then I can't emphasize that more enough. Yes, it's not easy believism, but there's a ditch on the other side as well. And it's not, you can call it sinless perfection, you can call it good, you know, good works, salvation, you know, that you got to do it a certain way. You got to overcome your sin before you can receive Jesus. That's not what it's talking about. You have to receive Jesus, repent of your rejection of Jesus to receive Him, because He saves us from our sin. That's the whole point of getting saved. My friends, the joy, the blessings of repentance for eternal salvation, for divine restoration, for earthly relations. To God be the glory. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father in heaven, thank You, Lord, for your goodness. Thank You, Lord, for Your word. Thank You, Lord, for the gift of repentance that You grant to all that seek, that we shall find. What a promise. Amen. Lord, that first for salvation, but then for victorious Christian living. Lord, that the sins that so easily beset us, that I struggle with, Lord, that many of, you know, that we all struggle, pride, you know, and anger and bitterness and wrath and evil speaking and all these things, we can all be guilty of that, Lord. But victory comes only through Jesus Christ and repentance to Him. And so, Lord, we are so thankful for Your word. We thank You that if we knock, it shall be opened unto us, because, Father, we plead that we do need You. Lord, we cannot do it by ourselves, Lord. Lord, perhaps some of us are heavy laden. Some of us, you know, we're just laboring in our own vanity of our own strength. Lord, we need to take Your yoke upon us, because Your yoke is easy. It's easy to us because You do all the heavy lifting. So, Father, we are so thankful for Your word. Help us to receive it by faith and to repent. We thank You in Jesus' name. Every head bowed, every eye closed, as a piano.